Our sermon title this Sunday, When is the Right Time? Another question. As you know, I like asking questions in sermon titles because it forces me to come up with an answer. Obviously, or maybe not obviously, comes out of the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, Thessalonians, where he talked about how they might, well, depending on the translation, the one I was looking at, the New Revised Standard Version begins with, "Now concerning the times and the seasons, friends, you do not need to have anything written to you." Well, these days, it wouldn't surprise me if people are thinking of times and seasons. Nothing like a pandemic, particularly one that was bad enough a few months ago and is now so much worse, to make you think about the end of everything. Pandemics, and this certainly isn't the first one, and I'm afraid it probably won't be the last, that we've had to deal with as a, well, as a species, has caused us to think about these kinds of things before. We want to know, and that's okay. It's okay to want to know things, whether we have an answer or not, really doesn't matter. The wanting is okay. Sometimes the wanting is all we need to do. Wanting sometimes satisfies whatever it is that we're wanting for. I remember one of my professors saying that if you want something that you can't have, he said, give yourself 5 minutes to just want it like crazy. And then just move on because you can't have it. So you've wanted it long enough, move on to something else. We want to know the times and the seasons. Paul tells us we already know. But what we know is that we don't know. And that's also okay. That one might sound a little strange to us, but there's something about uncertainty that really drives us crazy. Uncertainty can be really hard on us, at least many of us, certainly on me. I don't like uncertainty. I want to know. So when I can't know, strange as it sounds, knowing that I can't know because nobody knows. It's not that people are holding out on me. It's not that if I just was smarter or wiser or older or younger that I would know. If it can't be known, that helps quite a lot, at least for me. And that's what Paul is saying. He's saying that we don't know when the end is going to come because that's what this is all about. The times and the seasons aren't so much, is it 8 a.m. or is it 8 p.m.? It's not, is this winter? Because it certainly is where I am anyway. Or is it spring? It's what's going on with everything. And what I find interesting is that Paul says that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, which is obviously something that's unexpected, hard to predict, hard to know when it's going to come. Because obviously, if we knew a thief was going to come to our house tonight, I would just stay up and leave the lights on and probably chase them away just by doing that. Thief in the night is just a way of us to be reminded that this is something that we're not going to know about. It's going to come out of nowhere. They've made a movie about it that was not at all helpful for many of us. I found it a terrifying kind of thing. I don't know if it was supposed to provide comfort, but if it did, it certainly didn't. And one of the reasons why it didn't, it's because it didn't pay attention to the rest of what Paul says. Paul goes on to say that we won't be surprised by this coming because the thief in the night analogy, the metaphor of a thief in the night, only takes us so far, like every other analogy or every other metaphor. None of these are perfect. They can't be because they're trying to represent one thing in a different way. Well, the thief in the night metaphor breaks down right about here. And the reason why it breaks down is because Paul says we are not going to be surprised because we are children of the light and children of the day. But you, beloved, are not in darkness for that day to surprise you like a thief. That's what it says in verse 4. The people who are surprised are the people who are in darkness, whoever those might be. We know for sure it isn't us. This is very much in variance with what I was taught. This part of Thessalonians, when I was growing up, and I don't know if it was the same for anyone else, and I hope it wasn't, was used, not intentionally, but created uncertainty in me. because what was highlighted is that nobody knows when it's going to happen. So you better be careful. You better watch out. You better worry all the time. Nobody told me to be worried all the time. Nobody sat me down and said, you know, if you're not worried right now, you're just not paying attention. But that's what I took away from it. Because when I looked at this passage, all I read were verses 2 and 3. For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and there will be woman, and there will be no escape. And that was what it was, except by skipping over verse 4 or not bringing it about at all, it's just really difficult for us because it takes away the hope. Paul wrote the letter to the church at Thessalonica not to make them feel bad, not to make them feel hopeless, but to give them hope. Why do we go to 1 Thessalonians at funerals? Because it's a hopeful letter, not a hopeless one. We're not led to despair when we read the whole thing. But if we just grab a verse here or a phrase there, yeah, it can be kind of scary. So to the question posed in the sermon title, what is the right time? Well, the right time is whenever it comes. We don't get to pick that time. We don't know what it is. Even Jesus didn't know what it was. That's what he said in the Gospels. He said, only the Father knows. He said, I don't know when this will happen. But what we know is that it will come when it's supposed to. We serve a good God, not a capricious God, not a God who's just waiting to catch us out somewhere. We serve and love a God who loves us more than we can even love God. And we don't need to be looking all over for signs, because Paul tells us, for God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Awake or asleep, alive or dead, whatever situation we're in at the moment of this time, when it comes at the right time, we are okay. That's where the hope comes. That's where the blessing of 1 Thessalonians comes. Not in making us worry. Not in us focusing on, and there will be no escape. That part isn't written for us. It's not written for those people who God loved enough to send Jesus. We don't know who it's written to. All we know is that it doesn't apply to us. It doesn't apply to you. It doesn't apply to me. Because we are children of light and children of the day. We're not children of darkness. That does not mean, more's the pity perhaps, it does not mean that we're perfect. It doesn't mean that we've accomplished everything that we could possibly accomplish for God. It doesn't mean that we've never made a mistake. What it means is that we have moved into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And what that means is that we are fine. It means that we do not need to look to the signs to find out whether we are okay. It doesn't mean that we need to look for prophetic answers or anything of that nature to provide comfort for us. There's nothing wrong with looking for these things. There's nothing wrong with studying scripture to see if there is a prophetic word there in that sense of foretelling, of scripture saying this is what will happen at some point. There's nothing wrong with that. But we don't have to do that, and we don't have to have the answers to receive the comfort that says we are okay, that says we are fine, because that's there already. There are many scholars who have devoted their lives to the prophetic utterances that we find in scripture, and they have not wasted their time. But we don't have to do that to be in this relationship. The relationship is what matters the most. We belong to the day, is how Paul puts it in verse 8. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter when this day comes, because whether it comes when we're expecting it or when we're not, whether it comes when we are still here, alive and in this community with each other, or if it comes after we have died, we are okay. We are the kind of people we should be. We are the people that God reached out to before we even knew about God, before we even were. God loved us and was ready for us to move into this relationship with God. And that's why verse 11 is so important. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, as indeed you are doing. That's what we do when we get together on a Sunday, whether we speak directly to one person or another, by being in community, by being together, whether it's this community or another one, we are building each other up. We are reminding each other and reminding ourselves, in the same way that the call to worship calls each other and ourselves into worship, we're reminding us that we are okay, that we are in a community of forgiven, redeemed, saved people, that we don't have to worry that this pandemic is a sign of the end of everything, if it is, because we're people and children of the light, that when it comes, we might not be expecting it, but it won't be a surprise. It won't be a shock. It'll be a culmination of all that we have done and all that we have worked towards as we have tried more and more to become the people God created us to be, as we try more and more to be the people that make the difference that only we can make, that we work more and more at being kind to ourselves and to others, at seeing ourselves and others through the eyes of a God who loves us so, so much. As we finish up this liturgical year, as we move into Advent and the time of Christmas and all of those things, let's not forget that the stream that connects everything in the liturgical year is God's love for us. Not judgment, not condemnation, but love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Those who see us will know we belong to Christ because of how we love each other and because of how we love. As we finish up a liturgical year, not a calendar year, but as we're almost finished a liturgical year that has been filled with more challenges, certainly for me, than any other year I can remember, let's remember that we are children of the light, that we live in the day, that we are in a position to, and we've been equipped to, love those around us, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and our neighbors as ourselves. Amen.